foremost man of our time, Winston of our time, Winston of our time, Winston of our foremost man of our time. Imperial leader, the life story of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill has left the Conservative Party for the Liberals, following the dictates of his conscience. A young man, vital, energetic, he feels that the Liberal Party offers himself and England all the prospects of progressive leadership. Bitterly criticized, he has made his decision and acted upon it. These early years of the century see him a busy man, working day and night in politics, writing, lecturing. The days of fighting and adventure in other countries seem a long, long time away. But one day brings an echo of the past, of the stirring Boer War days. Lloyd George invites him to an unusual luncheon.
Winston, some of us are giving a luncheon to the Boer generals who've come to London to ask for assistance for their country. Would you care to attend?
I would very much, David.
Such a gesture, I must warn you, will put you in very bad odour with the diehards.
Oh, I'm in bad odour with most of them already. The Oldham Conservative Association has issued a declaration that I've forfeited their confidence. Several lifelong friends have cut me dead. I've had to resign from two of my clubs. What more can happen to me?
All right, Winston. We'll expect you at the luncheon, then. You'll have the unique experience of breaking bread with men who only a short time ago were doing their best to kill you.
Ah, well, that's as it should be. The Romans had a motto which ran, spare the conquered and make war on the proud. That's just what I intend to do. Nobody could have greater admiration for the Boers than I. Magnificent fighters and true men.
Most unusual and enjoyable gathering to meet old foes and find them friends. And you too fought against us, Mr. Churchill.
Indeed I did. Although originally I went out as a war correspondent.
War correspondent?
Yes, I was captured near Estcourt when the armored train on which I was traveling ran off the track. You must have heard of my escape, General Botha. It was given a good deal of publicity.
Yes, I remember it very well. But tell me, Mr. Churchill, can you recall the man who took you prisoner?
He was a tall, dark man, heavily bearded.
And would you know him again if you saw him?
I think so.
Look at me, Mr. Churchill.
You, General Botha?
Don't you recognize me?
Why, you were...
Yes, I was that man, Mr. Churchill. It was I who took you prisoner. I myself.
Unbelievable.
I look rather different now, eh? With the white shirt and the frock coat. But inside, I am the same, I promise you.
I too am the same, General Botha. Shall we shake hands?
With all my heart. We have been enemies. Now, we are friends.
Huh? Let that stand not only for us, but for our countries. We are an empire united. After all, the blood of our sons is the cement which binds us forever.
Churchill, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for your support to the Liberal cause. It's been invaluable to us.
I acted according to my lights, Sir Henry. The Liberal Party declared for free trade, and I felt it my duty to support that policy.
And rightly so. But the time has come when you should receive some recognition for your efforts. I've already formed my cabinet. Mr. Asquith is Chancellor of the Exchequer. Sir Edward Grey, Foreign Minister. Mr. Lloyd George, President of the Board of Trade. Mr. John Morley, Secretary for India. Mr. Haldane, Secretary of State for War, and Lord Elgin, Colonial Secretary.
It sounds like a good team, Sir Henry.
I think so. I hope so. Now, you, Mr. Churchill, have travelled wildly, and I understand you know South Africa particularly well. Will you accept the post of Under-Secretary for the Colonies?
Thank you, sir. I shall be very happy to accept.
Splendid. And among the problems you will have to solve... question of Chinese slavery in Africa, the question of possible self-government for the Orange River and Transvaal colonies, and the general pacification of South Africa. I think it might be advisable for you to go out there at once. What do you say?
Nothing would give me greater pleasure. I shall leave for Africa when you say, Sir Henry. And it shall be my task to make that colony as great in peace as she has been in war.
Quite. Unfortunately, however, Mr. Churchill, the peace which we all long for so ardently again appears to be threatened.
Not by the Boers, surely.
No, no. By people far more powerful than the Boers. The Germans.
But for what reason?
Morocco is the pretext. But the real reason is the Anglo-French Accord. Germany has demanded the resignation of the French Foreign Minister, Monsieur Delcasse, an immediate conference of all the signatory powers to the Treaty of Madrid.
What will Britain's attitude be?
We must support France. We're honor-bound to do that. When the Algeciras conference takes place, Sir Edward Grey will adopt a strong attitude. And what follows after that will be up to Germany.
Then perhaps I'd better postpone my trip until after the Algeciras conference.
I think that would be the wisest plan. But let us hope that cool heads and resolute hearts will enable us to avert the danger of war and go on with our policy of peace, retrenchment, and reform.
I feel honored to take my place in the Campbell-Bannerman cabinet, Sir Henry. I shall do all I can to do justice to my allotted task.
Oh, Mr. Churchill, I'm so glad to see you. Come along and sit down. We're just having a cocktail before dinner.
Thank you, my dear lady. I'm afraid I'm not particularly good at these functions, you know. You'll pardon a certain measure of brusqueness in me.
Oh, but every hostess in London has been seeking to get you along to the study by their guests. You are a celebrity, Mr. Churchill. Oh, I'm so glad I'm the lucky hostess.
Well, if you insist upon referring to me as a celebrity, I shall put on my hat and run, I warn you.
And your brother, John?
As well as ever. Now, John is essentially a man who likes social gatherings. For myself... Oh, but you will forgive my rudeness.
Oh, of course. Now, I want you to meet... yes. Do you know Miss Clementine Hosier?
Well, I'm afraid my acquaintance with the young ladies of London is strictly limited.
You both come along, then. I want you to meet one of the most attractive and interesting young women I've known for many a day.
And like a lamb to the slaughter, the lamb was led.
Winston Churchill, Clementine. You know all about Mr. Churchill, don't you?
Of course. How do you do?
Miss Clementine Hosier, Winston.
How do you do?
To be kind to him, Clementine. He refuses positively to make small talk or be insincere. Now, would you excuse me a moment, please? There are one or two other guests I must attend to. Dinner will be served in about half an hour.
Of course. Thank you. Will you have a cocktail, Miss Hosier?
Not just now, thank you. Shall we sit down here for a moment?
Yes, I...
You don't present yourself at many social gatherings, do you?
Oh, no. You see, I've been such a very busy person that I've rather overlooked the amenities of life.
Oh, one shouldn't ever be too busy with the world to pay attention to one's own personal interests, do you think?
And yet, you can get so wrapped up with the major affairs that you cease to be a personality and become a cog in a vast machine. Perhaps I have been in danger of forgetting that I am, after all, a man. And a man, I think, who's capable of getting a great deal of happiness out of life.
And why not? Life isn't so short that you can't get a lot of pleasure out of it.
I wonder what little quirk of fate made me come here tonight and made our charming hostess bring me straight to you. Or do I imagine things? Do I imagine things when I say, as I feel, that there's no woman I've ever met who's interested me so much?
Thank you. I think I understand the secret of your success, Mr. Churchill. You think quickly, make quick decisions, and you...
Very, very seldom make a decision I regret. Miss Hosier, I'm very sorry, but you're going to see a great deal of me.
Mr. Churchill? I am not at all sorry.
Is it a week? Or is it a year? Yes, I do believe it's just 7 days. That is 168 hours, or 10,080 minutes. Or in seconds, it would be...
Oh, if you try to work that out, we'll both have headaches.
7 days since I met you. And for the first time in my life, I'm neglecting my work because I can think only of you, Clementine.
Can you make a quick decision too, Clementine?
I think I might.
Are you capable of an impetuous act, which is so much of a gamble? In a word, Clementine, will you marry me?
If I say yes very quickly, you won't think I'm grasping my great opportunity before it gets away from me?
Oh, I won't think anything like that. Say yes very quickly.
Yes, Winston.
My dear. I think I'll be a very good husband.
Of course you will be.
I love you very deeply, Clementine. I'm better at political speeches, more original. But this is one moment when originality doesn't matter, does it?
No. The less original, the deeper the love. I couldn't be original at a moment like this, because I love you too, very much.
Of course, I must warn you that my salary as a member of the government may vanish at any time. I have no financial resources, no income. It's a great gamble.
Just what it is, Winston. A very great gamble. And I'm so very happy to find somebody I want to be partner with in this lovely, exciting gamble.
If I could have a word with you, I'd just like to offer my congratulations, Mr. Asquith. I know of no man better fitted to be Prime Minister.
Thanks, Churchill. But I have a hard task ahead of me. I'll need all the support I can get. Sit down for a moment. I wanted to talk to you.
Thank you, Mr. Asquith. As far as my support is concerned, you can count on me.
I know that. And that brings me to the point. You've done very useful work as Under Secretary for the Colonies. The Transvaal Constitution was a real achievement.
Thank you. For me, it was a pleasure.
I feel the time has come when you should be given full cabinet rank. What do you say to the border trade? I think you could handle it.
This is a very pleasant shock to me, Mr. Asquith. I had no idea. At least, not so soon.
How old are you, Churchill?
34.
Rather young for a cabinet minister these days. The youthful statesman has gone out of fashion since Pitt's day. But you have earned promotion and you shall have it. Oh, by the way, I hear you're thinking of getting married.
Yes, the late Colonel Sir H.M. Hosier's daughter. You've given me a perfect wedding present.
May I offer my good wishes to you both? I trust that the future will bring prosperity and happiness to you and yours.
Many thanks for everything.